When I was at London Bible College, my principal said, don't make them late if they're not, but don't let them get away with it if they are. So we'll start just on time, which is about 30 seconds. Perhaps just before we start properly, a very, very warm welcome to everyone that's here. Number of visitors among us, you're most welcome. And now someone online, Phil? Yeah, well, welcome to those online. Of course, this is our carol service, a festival, really, of some of the lovely carols celebrating the message of Christmas, because above all, that's what's important. Not the tunes, though lovely as the tunes are, and the words for what they actually mean and what they actually say, that we celebrate the coming of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. The people that are reading know what they're reading, know when they're reading. I'll just announce the carols, and then if the readers will come out as they are in the programme, please. By the way, I haven't come as Rudolph. I had a little fall on the ice on Friday, so I apologise for that. It looked worse on Friday, I can assure you. So let's begin. And let's begin, as always, with the Word of God. Wonderful verses in the first chapter of John's Gospel that set the true, amazing fact of what happened at that first Christmas in the eternal context of God and his eternal Son, called in these verses the Word of God. So John chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. A little later, the true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Those majestic verses describe the Lord Jesus Christ as he has ever been, the eternal Son, the eternal Word of God, one with the Father, who that first Christmas became man for us. Let's sing our first carol. All my heart this night rejoices as I hear far and near sweetest angel voices. Let's stand and sing together.
Thank you.
great number of notices tonight, but just for our own folk to remind that Wednesday evening will be our normal prayer meeting, led this week by Ken Roberts, and it will be a slightly shorter meeting because it will be followed by a short church meeting. That's Wednesday evening. Of course, next Sunday being Christmas Day, gathering for worship on the Lord's Day morning. Let's pray. Gracious and merciful Father in heaven, Lord God Almighty, holy, eternal, great God who is creator and sustainer of all things, great God who is holy, before whom sin must be judged, and under your condemnation, and yet in the wonder of your grace and love, you have given your Son. As we celebrate again tonight in many readings from your word, in the carols that we sing, to be our Saviour. You sent the Lord Jesus Christ into this world, born of Mary, a true human child, and yet God's own Son, God's given child. But not only that his birth, but that his death should bring into the world that great purpose of love for which he came, that he might be the Saviour of all who will trust in him. Oh, write this truth on our hearts afresh tonight as we hear your word, as we sing your praise, as we spend just a few moments thinking about it. And may we know what it is, not just to rejoice in a traditional story and a happy time of year, but to rejoice in the wonder of the love of God who gave his Son to be our Saviour and in whom we come now. Amen. And the first reading, please.
The Old Testament prophets declare the birth of the Messiah, starting in Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And then go into chapter 9, starting at verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with the joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Then Micah chapter 5, starting at verse 2. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you you shall come forth for me, one who is to be the ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labour has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. When the Assyrian comes into our land and treads in our palaces, then we will rise against him 7 shepherds and 8 princes of men.
Well, we sing again, and it's perhaps rather more familiar to many. Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth.
The angel Gabriel tells Mary of the child she will bear. Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 26 to 35. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Amen.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace.
Joseph is told the truth of Mary's child.
Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before them coming together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quickly. But as he considered then things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will be a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for the will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoke by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and then shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph waked from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
The fourth reading is the record of the birth of Jesus, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration, when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in a swaddling cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
Child in the manger, infant of Mary, outcast and stranger, Lord of all.
Yeah. The fifth reading is the shepherds learn of the Saviour's birth from Luke chapter 2, verses 8-20. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, with the angel was a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angel went from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary, Joseph, and the baby lying in the manger. And then they saw it. And when they saw it, they made known, saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they'd seen and heard and seen as it had been told to them.
Matthew chapter 2, verse 1-12. Wise men from the east are led the newborn Saviour. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it was written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way.
Thank you, Davina, and thanks to all those who've done readings for us this evening. We sing again, "While shepherds watched their flocks by night, all seated on the ground, the angel of the Lord came down, and glory shone around." Well, from the many readings from God's Word which have declared the wonder of this Christmas story, I want just for a few moments to draw your attention to one verse. One verse from the reading that Evie did in Luke chapter 2 of the angels who came to the shepherds to announce the birth of Jesus. And that verse is Luke chapter 2 verse 13. Phil, can we get that up? Luke chapter 2 verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, and this is the point, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom God is pleased. Well, the song of praise of the angels announcing the birth of Jesus, the Saviour who is Christ the Lord, the good news of great joy as they have declared, God's wonderful, amazing grace that brings that news first to these Bethlehem shepherds. This word grace, we use it a lot, and this is called Grace Baptist Church. What does grace mean? Grace is God's undeserved favour. Grace is God dealing with sinful human beings, which we all are, not by what we deserve, but by what we don't deserve. Grace and mercy in God giving his Son to be our Saviour. The very fact that this is undeserved grace is actually there in miniature in the fact that these shepherds are the first to actually be told of the Saviour's birth. You see, shepherds at this time were, they were scorned, they were disregarded, they were even despised among the Jewish people at this time. They couldn't really help it, but the very work they did stopped them from strict observance of the many issues of the Jewish law. And so they were looked down on as those who didn't actually keep the law, even though they couldn't keep the law by virtue of what they did. And they're also regarded, justly or unjustly, as being dishonest and untrustworthy and always out for the main chance. In fact, in the strict Jewish law at this time, they were so distrusted, no shepherd was allowed to give testimony in any court of law. And yet it was to them the God of grace sent his angels to announce the birth of Jesus. That in miniature is a picture of the whole gospel, the picture of this wonderful news. For before God, all human beings, every one of us, everyone who's ever lived, is condemned by God's holy law. Because God's law judges and condemns sin, and Paul tells us in the book of Romans, chapter 3, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And if anyone tries to deny that they're a sinner, as some do, I've actually had it said to me when I've been preaching in other churches, don't you call me a sinner? I say, well, I don't call you a sinner, God's word does. All have sinned, but looking at ourselves, we know that is true. And what can deal with our sin? Only the grace of God. And God has done that in sending his Son, born from the Virgin Mother Mary, no human father, the Son of God, through the Holy Spirit's work in Mary's womb, as we've read, to be the Saviour. To be the Saviour of all who will trust in him. To be the Saviour because he bore their sins. He bore our sins if we trust him. On the cross of Calvary. You know, never regard Christmas as just a nice traditional story which gives you a warm, cozy feeling and leads to celebration and festivities. To so many, that's all that Christmas is. We're being directed tonight to the true meaning and the true wonder of this Christmas message. Why it is good tidings of great joy. Why it tells us of a Saviour's birth. But just for the rest of our time, quite briefly, I want to look at just a few words from this 13th verse of Luke chapter 2. The words of the angels, glory to God in the highest, yes, And on earth, peace. And on earth, peace among those with whom God is pleased. The familiar words there are part of the Christmas story. They appear in a fashion on a lot of Christmas cards. Hang on. Hang on. Peace on earth? Did his birth really bring peace on earth? Look at the long history of mankind since Jesus came. Look at the world around us today. Look at the awful situation of the people of Ukraine under Russian aggression and many other conflicts, not so well reported perhaps, in different parts of the world still. We're surrounded by what the Bible calls wars and rumours of wars. Jesus said those words. He said it would be like that until he came again. Peace on earth? Peace on earth? Through his birth? About 150 years ago, an American poet, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, strange name, isn't it? My generation, some of us will know him as the author of Hiawatha, the American epic of the Native American Indians. But he wrote another poem called Christmas Bells. And just a few verses from it say this. I heard the bells on Christmas Day there, old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And thought how, as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. You see, he wrote those words during the American Civil War. And he recorded that he wrote them after, on Christmas Day itself, during one of the years of that war, he heard cannon fire in the distance on Christmas Day itself. And he writes, and in despair, I hung my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. Now, the poem doesn't end with that despair. In the last verse, he says this, then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. Has that come? No, because you see, that is looking forward to what the Bible tells us of a final day when the Lord Jesus Christ will come again. And when all wrong will fail and the eternal kingdom of God's peace will be revealed in a renewed creation. Is that what the angels were actually saying to these shepherds in that day? Is it looking forward, forward, forward to when Jesus comes again without any relevance to the world then or now? How did it relate to the shepherds in their day? How does it relate to us, still in this broken world, in ours? How can you say that Christ's birth brings peace on earth? So that question, understandable though it is, really misses the whole point of the angel's message. In this ESV version that we use now in the church, perhaps a little bit less familiar to most of us than the old version, it says, peace on earth among those with whom God is pleased. It's a good translation of the Greek. Who are they then? Who are those with whom God is pleased? Are we talking about people that are especially good? People who do his will so perfectly they deserve his peace? You know, in that case, no human being would ever qualify to receive this peace. We just said from God's word that all have sinned. So, who is it with whom God is pleased? On whom his favour rests, as another version puts it. Well, listen to one of the most familiar verses in the whole Bible. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 3 and verse 16, we have this wonderful, wonderful declaration. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God will save through his Son all who believe in him, and whoever believes in him. You see, when you see that, whoever believes, no one's actually ruled out. No one is debarred by that. No one is outside the reach of the grace of God. God sent his Son to bear the sin of all those who would believe and trust him. He took the judgment that we deserve. Whoever believes will be saved. These despised shepherds, they seem to be the first ones who actually hear it and believe. We find them in the last verse that was read, glorifying and praising God for all that they'd seen and heard. They didn't deserve it, nor do any of us. But God's word says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And that means you will receive the forgiveness of your sin because Jesus himself has taken it, borne it, been punished for it in your place. And in him you have peace with God. You see, the peace which the angels declare is not the absence of war or divisions or strife. These things will continue in a broken world until Jesus comes again. But here is something greater and more precious than such earthly peace. Much as we rightly long for it and pray for it, this is talking about peace with God. Peace with God. Peace for sinful men and women who, because of their sin, would be separated, are separated, cut off from God. The Bible actually says we're enemies of God in our disobedience. Cut off and separated from God apart from the grace. We've been talking about grace. God's free, undeserved favour. God's mercy. Not dealing with us as we deserve, but giving his Son to be our Saviour. We're talking about the birth of the one who came to bear the sin of everyone who would trust him and bring us peace with God. Does someone say, this isn't what I was expecting as a Christmas message? Where's the lovely Christmas story? Dear friends, this is the real meaning of Christmas. This is the real meaning of the birth of Jesus. It's not a warm, comfortable, fuzzy feeling. It's not a lovely traditional story at this time of year, which many, many people who aren't Christians, they love the story. And then they forget about it. They look at their Christmas cards. They may come to a carol service. They go away again and they get back to the serious business of eating, drinking and being merry. Listen again to the angel's words. To you is born a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. This is the good news of great joy. This is the best news the world has ever heard, ever can hear, ever will hear. Jesus has come to be the Saviour, the sin bearer of everyone who will receive him and believe and trust him. Just listen to just two or three other verses. I'm going to do no more than simply read them. In Romans chapter 5 verse 1, Paul says, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified. What's that mean? It's a theological word really, isn't it? It means being made right with God. Being declared by God's holy justice, to be right with him. Not by anything that we do or ever could do, but by what Jesus has done. Bearing our sin on the cross. Colossians chapter 1 verse 20, another one of Paul's letters. It says, Jesus has made peace by the blood of the cross. The shed blood of the Saviour dealing with our sin. Taking our punishment that we might be forgiven. You know, Jesus himself said to his disciples in chapter 14 of John's Gospel, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. For the Christian, this peace of Christ, his gift to his people, first through his coming into this poor world as we're thinking at Christmas, but then by his death on the cross of Calvary, this peace through his redeeming death. Peace with God. Trusting him, we know this peace, even in the midst of all the difficulties, troubles, sorrows, all the things that people say, well, how can you have peace in the middle of all these things that are going on? Do you know, there are people in the Ukraine tonight who have in their hearts this peace of God. People who really are trusting in the Saviour, despite all the outwardness around them, all the suffering, which is real. But the peace of God in the heart of those that know him and know that Jesus has borne their sins. That's what Jesus came to bring. You know, we should live in the awareness and experience of this peace if we're Christians. And that means we should live in real peace with one another, putting away all discord of any kind. You know that peace? Do you know that peace? He was born to bring it to all who will trust in him. One more verse, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. He himself is our peace. We have peace because of Jesus. We have peace in Jesus. Our peace is because Jesus has brought us to God, if only we will trust in him. And closing with just one verse from the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah says this: you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Are our minds stayed upon God? Stayed upon the Lord Jesus? Is this what is the focus, the most important thing to us? Is this what is the center of our thoughts, our beings, our lives? Is he the one in whom alone we trust? One day the final kingdom of eternal peace will be ushered in. The fulfillment of that prophecy that was read, that one of his names will be the Prince of Peace. The book of Revelation says there will be this wonderful new creation where there'll be no more mourning or crying or pain. They'll all have passed away. And for the believer, God himself will wipe away every tear. Can you anticipate that? Because you're trusting in him tonight. But here and now, this Christmas, let's praise God for the coming of the Prince of Peace, the Saviour who was born that first Christmas to redeem his people and give them peace with God. May we be rejoicing this Christmas in him who came to bring on earth peace to those with whom God is pleased, those who trust him as their Saviour. Amen. Sorry. We're going to close with perhaps a less familiar carol. It's an old one, so many of us will know it very well indeed, some will not. Let earth and heaven combine, angels and men agree to praise in songs divine the incarnate deity, God, born as a babe among men. Our God contracted to a span. This hymn was written by a man called Charles Wesley. And that line is based upon a word that his brother John, who was a great preacher, spoke about how our God was contracted to a span. And he opened his arms to receive, as it were, a human child. Our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. There will be a drink and some refreshments available, and we trust you'll all be able to stay for a time of fellowship together. It's out there in the foyer. Let's just close with prayer. Gracious and merciful Father in heaven, our Father, if we really are trusting in your own and eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, at this time we do rejoice in the lovely and wonderful story of the babe of Bethlehem, but oh, that our joy may be that deeper joy of knowing the reality of why he came, that he came truly a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. May we be trusting him, looking to him. May he be the centre of our Christmas, and may the peace of God that alone in him we can know keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.